ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Either,
Eke,
some, Manasa
of the mind. Adda. Directly. Visham. Faithful. Anavastanasya.
Anavastanasya.
Being unsteady.
Being unsteady.
Sata. Very cunning.
Very cunning.
Kirata.
Kirata.
A hunter.
A hunter.
Eva.
Eva.
Life.
Life.
Sandarshante.
Sandarshante.
Become.
Become.
Translation by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Sukha Goswami said, replied, "My dear king, you have spoken correctly. However, after capturing animals, a cunning hunter does not put faith in them, for they might run away. Similarly, those who are advanced in spiritual life do not put faith in the mind. Indeed, they always remain vigilant and watch the mind's action." In Bhagavad Gita 18.5, Lord Krishna says, "Yajnana tapa karma nathyam chandaryam evaka yajno danam tapascheva pavanani manishinam." Acts of sacrifice, charity and penance are not to be given but should be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity and penance purify even the great souls. Even one who has renounced the world and has taken sannyas should not renounce chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. Renunciation does not mean that one has to renounce Sankirtan Yajna. Similarly, one should not renounce charity or tapasya. The yoga system for control of the mind and senses must be strictly followed. Lord Vishnudev showed how severe types of tapasya could be performed and he set an example for all others.
Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivaasa.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation, Srila Sukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear King, you have spoken correctly. However, after capturing animals, a cunning hunter does not put faith in them, for they might run away. Similarly, those who are advanced in spiritual life do not put faith in the mind. Indeed, they always remain vigilant and watch the mind's action." So verse number 2 from this chapter is an answer to the question raised by King Parikshit in verse 1. So what was the question Parikshit has raised in the previous verse? King Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear Lord, for those who are completely pure in heart, knowledge is attained by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, and attachment for fruitive activities completely burned in ashes. For such people, the powers of yoga automatically arise. They should not cause distress. Why then did Rishabhadev neglect them?" So in order for that question, Sukadeva Goswami is answering in this verse that yes, you have spoken correctly, but he is giving a simile, an example. Just as you capture an animal, or a hunter captures an animal, but he does not put faith in that animal, because the animal may pretend as if it has died or has come under the control of the hunter, but the moment it gets an opportunity, it slips away. So therefore, similarly, a spiritualist or an advanced devotee does not rely or put faith on his mind. So therefore, one has to be vigilant and watch the mind's action. I think many times earlier we have spoken that each one of us is born with a particular mind or psyche and a body, and therefore we said the psychophysical body. So that we call it as swabhava. And so here the verse is trying to, Sukadeva Goswami is trying to tell us that do not put faith in your own mind, or do not rely on one's own swabhava. Even though you have purified yourself, you need to take the shelter of not your mind, but the borrowed mind. I think the terminology which I have used earlier also, there is my mind and there is a borrowed mind. So long I depend on my own mind, then there is always a chance for me to get defeated, or there is always a chance to be cheated. But if I depend on borrowed mind, then my shelter is assured. Now what is a borrowed mind? The borrowed mind is a mind taken from Guru Shastra. So from when you take the borrowed mind from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then you are no longer following your swabhava, rather you are following the instruction of a higher authority. And so long we follow the instruction of the higher authority, we are protected. And following the higher authority can be considered or can be equated to the Lakshmana Rekha. I think the term, those of you coming especially from South India would have heard this term. It is called Lakshmana Rekha, and this appears in Ramayana when Ravana appears in the forest, Chitrakoot forest, where Sita Devi was in the Kutir. And as you all know that the deer, the demon appeared in the form of a deer, and then he cries out, and so therefore Mother Sita Devi said that, look, Rama is in danger, so you please go and provide protection. Then Lakshmana, he draws a line. So that line is called the Lakshmana Rekha. Rekha is the line. So Lakshman draws the Rekha, the line. Or we can say that is called the Maryada line. So when we follow the Maryada line, or when we are within the Lakshmana Rekha, then the mind remains under control. Now what is that Lakshmana Rekha which protects us from the personality like Ravana? And what does the Ravana represent to us? Ravana represents the Kama Krodha Mada Moha Matsarya. Kama Krodha Mada Moha Lobha Matsarya. So these are the subtle, you can say, emotions or forces which Raghunatha Goswami says in his Manasiksha are like rogues, are like thieves, and they strangle the neck of a Sanatha or a Bhattacharya, someone who is traveling on the path of spiritual journey. Raghunatha Goswami says that these rogues strangle that person. So when these forces or emotions appear in the form of a Ravana, our protection is to remain within the boundary of Lakshmana Rekha or that Maryada Rekha. And if I remain within the Lakshmana Rekha, I am protected from a personality like Ravana who represents Kama Krodha Mada Moha Lobha Matsarya. So that's an important lesson for us to learn. And what is the Lakshmana Rekha we need to follow as part of our sadhana, so that we always remain protected? And here, so Prabhupada opens the purport saying that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yajna Dana Tapas Karma Natyajyam Karyam Kevada Yajna Dana Tapas Teva Pavanani Manishyana. So therefore, Prabhupada is quoting this particular verse that yajna dana tapas chaiva, it purifies even manishyana, someone who is on the journey of the spiritual path. He gets purified by performing these activities, yajna, dana and tapa. So acts of sacrifice, charity and penance are not to be given up but should be performed, because this purifies even great souls. So someone who has advanced on the spiritual journey is a great soul. Even such a person gets purified by performing these three activities: sacrifice, charity and penance. Now what are the activities that yajna dana is trying, or tapa? Who performs that? Yajna is an activity performed, should be performed by everyone, but specially it is meant for brahmacharis. So someone who is a brahmachari is required to follow strictly, or someone who is a sannyasi should strictly follow that maryada of not thinking of the opposite sex. As far as possible, one should remain away from them. I remember about a year and a half back, I was with His Holiness Tathagata Swami Maharaj in his chamber upstairs here. And after a couple of minutes, then I found a Mataji was entering in his chamber, and she brought some naturopathy, some medicine, something like that, and she was trying to discuss with Kalamata Swami Maharaj. So at that time, I said, it's not fair for me to stay there, because Mataji is trying to talk about the health of her Maharaj, and its health means it's something confidential between the doctor and the patient. So I was a third person, an outsider. I felt delicate. What to do? Should I stay or should I not stay here? And looking at my dilemma, Maharaj said, no, you are not leaving this place. You have to stay here because I'm dealing or I'm talking to the Mataji. And he specifically said to me, look, I'm a sannyas. And a sannyas is not supposed to stay with a Mataji alone in a room. So therefore, you should stay. I'm sorry, but you're required to stay here for another 30 minutes, half an hour. But you need to stay in this room till I finish my conversation with Mataji. And after Mataji leaves, you should leave. Till then, you're not supposed to leave. So I stayed back. They finished their conversation. Mataji gave whatever medicine she brought, she gave it to Maharaj. And after Mataji left, Maharaj said, now you can go. So this is a Maryada line or the Lakshmana Rekha line for a Brahmachari. That purifies their consciousness. Or a sannyas. So we find a similar example in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Chota Haridas, he was the personal servant of the Lord Himself. So though he was a personal servant of the Lord Himself, he developed a desire towards an opposite person, opposite sex. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not tolerate that. He said, I'm a sannyas and you're a personal servant. And look at the way you are behaving. And immediately he detached himself from Chotanandas. And the associates of Mahaprabhu, they pleaded with Mahaprabhu that it's a mistake committed, and he accepts his mistake. Please allow him to continue his personal service. Mahaprabhu said, no, I cannot allow. If you think that you should stay here, then you take his service, I'm leaving from here. And looking at what Mahaprabhu was conveying, they said it's fine. But then Haridas, he could not stay without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said his life is useless and he commits suicide. And that message was communicated back to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu did not say that he has committed a suicide. Instead, Mahaprabhu said, it's wonderful that he has committed suicide. Because he has committed a mistake which is unpardonable. So it's a lesson for us that we need to be careful when we are in the association. Or as far as possible, unless there is a service which is required, only then talk to a Mataji. Otherwise, we should be away from them. There is a principle being taught to us. And one should not think that, well, I am an advanced devotee and therefore nothing happens to me. I can remain calm. I can remain undisturbed in any situation. But that is not true. Because in this very temple, 15 years back, a major incident happened which reverberated through the temple and the congregation because of a preacher involving in a practice, because he has crossed the Lakshmana Rekha. He has crossed the Maryada line. So we should be careful when we are dealing with the opposite sex. Because the moment we are dealing with them, we remember, unless the service involved, there is a possibility that we may cross the Lakshmana Rekha. And what is the Lakshmana Rekha? Is Srila Prabhupada has suggested for us that we should follow the four regulatory principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex. So we should strictly follow these four regulatory principles. And then chant minimum 16 rounds every day. It is not that we chant the maximum 16 rounds, but it is a minimum that we need to chant, and that functions as a sort of inoculation for us, or that functions as a vaccine for us. Now we are in a world where technically a vaccine is being attempted to protect the humanity from the current pandemic. Therefore, this functions as a vaccine, and this we can see even in the practice of Namacharya Haridas Thakur, that he would chant every day 300,000 times the holy name of the Lord. He did not think, well, I'm an advanced devotee, I've chanted one day, that's good enough, I need not do the second day. No, it is, we are required to do that practice of chanting Krishna consciousness, of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day, so that it's like to talk in terms of physics, that I'm charging my battery. The battery requires to be charged every day, because by the time evening, when I look at my mobile gets discharged, so therefore in the night time before I go to sleep, I have to charge the mobile once again. So similarly, chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, following the four regulatory principles strictly, it on one side it charges my battery, and at the same time it protects me from discharge in unnecessary areas, because that gives the protection. So why Krishna says that, because Arjuna asks this question, chanchalam hi mana siksha masa mana krishna tamati balavadradam tasyaham nigraham manye vayo ivasu dushkaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong. O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think is more difficult than controlling the mind. Sorry, the mind. Now, unfortunately, we tend, or I tend to blame the mind. But who has corrupted the mind? I have corrupted the mind since anadi. And how did I corrupt my mind? Everyone strives for happiness. And I have said to my mind that, look, the happiness exists in a particular basket. With the concept which I spoke earlier also, that there are two baskets. There is an external basket and there is an internal basket. And the external basket has got certain items. And I've said to my mind that happiness exists when the mind can get attached to the external basket or the items contained in the external basket. And what are the items we have in the external basket? Kama, krodha, madha, moha, matsaryam. Those six emotions are there. Then dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That is there. Then eating meat, intoxication, sex, and then gambling. These are the items present. Then we have other items like fame and other aspects. So these are all the items present in the external basket, and that appears to be glittering to my eyes, and therefore I have allowed in my mind to get time and again attached to an external basket. And today, my mind is written with the impressions of the attachment to the external basket. Since when? Since anadi. So therefore, mind is considered to be the software, the default program. It automatically, the moment I wake up, it goes towards an external basket. I don't have to do anything. Spontaneously, it goes to external basket. And today, the technology is available in such a way that it's easy for anyone to become closer to the external basket, because the moment I get up, I pick up my phone. And immediately, where does the phone take me? The phone takes me to all over the world. And what is the world presenting to me? The world is presenting to me the items contained in the external basket.
So therefore, what should I do? How should I draw my Lakshmana Rekha? The morning, the first thing when I get up, what should we do? We should express our gratitude. That the first, we can say that we should perform a Buddha Siddhi prayer the moment we get up. Normally, Buddha Siddhi prayers are supposed to be done before you enter the puja room. But actually, we should do Buddha Siddhi prayers on a regular basis. That the moment I get up, I express my gratitude to the Lord, to Radha Vallabha, to Radha Giridhar, the Giridhari, that you have given me another day of life and let me use this life in service of your lotus feet. So the moment I get up, that should be my default program, and I offer that prayer gratitude. Two, the second prayer I should, because mind has been always instructing to the intelligence, saying that, look, you go there, I get the sense gratification or I get the enjoyment. But now the intelligence has to tell back the mind, look, hold on, you have been telling me so far, but now stop all that. I'm going to tell you, because my intention is to rewrite the program written in the mind. And what is that I'm trying to tell the mind? Look, I express my gratitude, that the first thing. The second, I tell the mind, I am a spirit soul. We should tell ourselves the morning I get up that I am a pure soul. I am a Satchitananda. I am Sat Chit Ananda. So therefore, Ananda is there with me itself. It's not that I should go out in search of Ananda. That is the second instruction I should give to my mind. Then the third instruction is the typical Buddha Siddhi prayers which we recite. The Buddha Siddhi prayers are like Gopi Bhakta Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasana Dasa. All the four verses are, or the entire four lines of verses are there. That we should repeat. And then the second verse is there. Divyam Sri Hari Mandirai Gya Tilakam Kantam Sumulam Vitam. The Sanskrit part is there. I'll give the English translation. Meditate at the Lord's temple, that your body is decorated with shining tilak, your neck bears a beautiful tulasi mala, your chest is adorned with the names of Sri Hari and sandalwood paste. You are wearing fine new clean cloth, and in your pure eternal form, you are at the lotus feet of Sri Guru, eager for service. So what it means is that I am time and again reminding myself that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not the subtle body, but I am a spirit soul. And not just a spirit soul, but I am the servant of the servant, the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. This instruction, I should start with my morning, the moment I get up. So that it's not that I get up from the bed and then pick up my mobile and then browse through what is happening around the world. I look at my WhatsApp messages, I look up what my email box is saying, because mind is compared to a blotting paper. Mind is compared to a blotting paper. I think those of you who have used the fountain pen, at least as a child, we used to say many times the pen would leak, and in order to absorb the ink, especially from the floor of the table, the easiest way was, in those days, the blotting paper was available. You place the paper on the ink where it fell, then it would cleanly absorb an entire ink and it cleans away. So similarly, whatever I read, whatever I see, whatever I hear, they are creating samskaras, or they are creating impressions. And the mind, which is functioning like a blotting paper, is absorbing those impressions. and that's creating samskara in me. So now, so far I have created a particular samskara since anadi. Now that I have to change. How do I change? I have to override on what samskara I have, and so therefore I start with this prayers in the morning. And that's not enough. If you read Raghunatha Goswami's Manasiksha, he says that Ashtakaliya, that in the 24 hours is divided into 8 praharas, which is each prahara is of 3 hours, and each prahara is once again divided into 6 dandas. Each danda is 30 minutes. And he says, whatever work we may be doing, pause, stop, and then bring about or fill your screen or fill your mind with the darshan of Radha Vallabha. Whatever work I may be doing, but stop that for 30 seconds or for a minute and bring the darshan of Radha Vallabha into your consciousness. And especially Raghunatha Goswami says, bring the darshan of Radha Giridhari. Because Govardhan is very merciful, and it is said that as you are performing the pradakshana or circumambulation of Giriraj, whatever desires you have as you are performing the circumambulation of Giriraj, Giriraj I believe is behind you, walking along with you, behind. And therefore he can hear your desires, and since you are circumambulating Giriraj, he reciprocates to you by blessing with your desires. He says, okay, tadastu, I give the desire. So therefore, Raghunatha Goswami is saying that you worship Radha Giridhari. And Nellore temple is fortunate to have Radha Giridhari on the altar. And every one of us, once again by temple's management mercy, we are receiving darshan pictures every day morning. Somehow or other, we are getting darshan pictures from very close distance. So have the darshan of the lotus feet of Radha Krishna, Radha Vallabha, Radha Giridhari, and bring them into your consciousness. And when you bring that into your consciousness, you are overwriting on the existing program which your mind has in terms of taking you to the external basket. Instead, it draws you to the internal basket where you have items of Radha Vallabha's lotus feet, Radha Giridhari, Guru Maharaj's lotus feet, and Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So therefore, the external basket represents the material energy, the internal basket represents the spiritual energy. So therefore, intentionally, deliberately, you are withdrawing the mind from the material energy and taking towards the spiritual energy. So we start our day with these prayers, and every half hour once again we remind ourselves, look, this is what it is, and therefore we bring the picture of darshan of Radha Vallabha, Radha Giridhari. So therefore slowly and steadily it is wiping away the previous instructions I have given to the mind. And once that happens, then all this is like writing or drawing the Lakshmana Rekha. So therefore I'm within that, I remain protected from a Ravana like Kama, Krodha, Mada, Moha, Lobha, Matsarya. So we remain protected. Because Raghunatha Goswami says that they are the ropes, they strangle you. And equally there's another part, they are the fame. And fame is considered to be, he uses the word, it's unchaste, a dog-eating woman. So this is what we crave in the material world, that I want to be famous. And because of that, I perform activities. So instead of that, here we are asked to perform yajna dana tapascheva, that is yajna dana and tapa. Tapa is the austerity we need to perform. Dana is specially meant for grihasthas, that we should give in charity. That, and why are we being asked to perform these activities, yajna dana tapa? Because it purifies the mind. It elevates the consciousness. And what we mean by elevating the consciousness is it takes us away from the material energy towards the spiritual energy. Otherwise, for anything and everything, we try to blame others. And that is what I say, this person is always irritating me. This person is always creating a problem for me. But if you read Avanti Brahmana's pastime, my misery is not based on others. In fact, he said, my misery is not even based on my past karma. Please note that my misery or happiness is not based on my past karma. This is what Avanti Brahmana is telling us. It's only because of my mind. My past karma places me in a particular situation, but thus I can remain aloof from the situation. My happiness and misery, or you can say that a positive flip, my happiness is independent of the external situation. That's what Avanti Brahmana is saying, that my happiness is independent of the external situation. No person can cause irritation to me. No person can give me happiness equally. Happiness is a state of my mind. I choose to remain happy in spite of whatever may be the external situation. Otherwise, I am giving the remote control to the external situation. Depending on the external situation, that can be something like I have a TV and I have a remote. I am switching on the TV and then changing the channels with my remote. So as I change my channels on the remote, accordingly the TV channels are changing. So equally, if that person is irritating me, it implies that I have given my remote to that person to irritate me. So therefore, I have no control over my mind. Because my mind feels happy because of that person. My mind feels irritated because of this person. So that means that I have no control over my mind. And that's what we are trying to do here. Intelligence is trying to give the instruction to the mind, look, the happiness or misery has nothing to do with the external situation. It is my determination, my way of dealing things can keep me happy. Because naturally, by nature, as a spirit soul, as a servant of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, Gopi Bhakta Pada Kamalayo, Dasa Dasa Anudasa, I am happy. So therefore, my happiness has nothing to do with the external situation, surroundings. If I can lift my consciousness to that level, then I remain untouched. It is not easy, but it needs to be practiced. If I can practice this, then I'm always floating in service of Radha Vallabha's lotus feet. Rather, every action of mine should be done as a service to the Lord, to Radha, to Radha Giridhari, to Guru Maharaj. That should be my motive, because by nature I am a servant. This is what we have learned so many times. The nature of spirit soul is to serve. So whatever activity I may be doing, I should do as an act of service to my Guru Maharaj, as an act of service to Radha Krishna, Radha Giridhari. Then I always remain protected. We can take classical examples from history. When Arjuna was shooting arrows at Bhishma Dev, what was the response of Bhishma Dev? How did Bhishma Dev respond to that situation? Remember, Arjuna was killing Bhishma Dev. And what was the response of Bhishma Dev? Aishman Bhava, SSV Bhava, that you live long, you be famous. So that is, so what it means is that in any situation, I have, the response is within my fold. How I respond? Somebody shoots an arrow, which means that somebody scolds me, somebody abuses me. How can I respond to that situation? One, when that person abuses me, I can also abuse back. So he did something like, he pulls one arrow, I pull two arrows. Then he shoots another three arrows, then I shoot another five arrows. And in the process, neither of them become victorious. Both of them at the end develop impressions in their consciousness and then negative impressions in their consciousness and leave the place. That's one type of response. The second type of response is when the person is shooting arrows, which means the person is abusing me, I just remain quiet. I don't say anything. But is that helpful? No. Because the person is abusing me and I'm absorbing, I'm just remaining quiet, I'm hearing, but internally I'm boiling. So therefore, once again, that situation is also not helpful. Then how should we respond? We should respond like Bhishma Dev. When someone is abusing me, what does that mean? That person is in a state of disease condition. Anyone is misbehaving with me is because of his samskara. His samskara shows, or her samskara shows, that the person is diseased. And therefore, in that disease condition, the person is behaving in a particular way. If I want to benefit that person, as Bhishma Dev has done it, I should bless that person. Poor chap, here is a diseased person. I pray to Radha Vallabha, I pray to Radha Giridhari, that let this person be blessed so that he comes out of that disease condition. Just as when I see on the road someone with a blind person, what do I do? If I'm a sane person, I try to help that person to, if the person is trying to cross the road, I try to help the person to cross the road. Or the person enters into a train or a tram, if I'm sitting on a chair, then I try to get up and then try to help. Or whatever way we can help, we try to reach out to the person, because we can see the disease of the person. So the disease of the person is not only in the body, but also in the consciousness. So when I can see the consciousness of the person, that the person is diseased, so therefore I bless him. And that's what we find in Bhishmadev, that's what we find in Haridas Thakur when he was beaten in 22 marketplaces with the lashes. Or this is what we find in Jesus Christ. So we find everywhere similar situation, exalted personalities, how they are reciprocated is with the feeling of compassion, blessing them so that the other person comes out of the disease. And why are they required to do that? So that my mind remains clean. All this I am trying to do, not for other person's benefit alone, but primarily I am trying to do for my own personal benefit. That when by forgiving the other person, I am forgiving actually myself. Otherwise my mind keeps troubling me all through the day. That person has abused me, that person has scolded me, this person has irritated me. And you can imagine in that process, the mind becomes restless, so much so that even if I take the chanting bits, I won't be able to chant properly. So this is called the Maryada line, that I remain, by blessing the person, I am able to bless myself. And this is an austerity we need to, this is a tapasya, tolerate. This is a tapasya we need to perform. And this doesn't happen overnight. I need to cultivate, I need to practice. And we've already said that we start with the Buddha Suddhi prayers, or we start with the purificatory thought prayers, and remind every 30 minutes, as Raghunatha Goswami is saying, and then we can come out of it. It's not a one day thing. Every day I need to do this. Every day, like Haridas Thakur has done 300,000 times of chanting every day, I too need to do this. Every day, every 30 minutes, Raghunatha says, please do, please do. Call out, Radha Giridhari, help me, mercy. So all this overrides on my existing program, and therefore it gradually purifies. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. And for this, we require the determination. Unless I have the determination, I will not be able to control the mind and the senses. And this determination comes from my understanding that a human life has a purpose. Unless I understand that human life has a purpose, the determination will not come into my consciousness, especially when I am in adverse situation. We'll take one real-time story which has happened to a person called Arunima Shah, I think. Has anyone heard the name Arunima Shah? Arunima Shah is a sportswoman from UP. She was traveling from point A to point B. I don't remember from which point she was traveling in a train. The moment she entered into the train, it was a dark time, night time. The train was passing through. Some rogues entered into her compartment and they tried to pull her gold chain. And to protect herself, she was trying to fight with them, and the rogues became angry, and then they pushed her out of the compartment, running train. So she fell on the track. And the way she fell on the track, her leg, one of the legs went under the wheels. And you can imagine when a train goes over the leg of a person, immediately, instantaneously, the leg was severed. And she had a fracture of the backbone. And the left knee also, one of the knees got severed, other knee also got injured. They were fractured. is a dark time, night time, and that was at a place where he was not near any station. So no help would be rendered to her. She was yelling, crying all through the night. But nothing happened, no help was coming. On the contrary, according to Arunima, she says that 40 trains have passed on the same track. Each time the train passes, it's touching her leg. So you can imagine the amount of pain the person is undergoing. The amount of pain. And then, next day, somehow the villagers, she was crying, and the villagers came and then saw her. They immediately took her to the hospital. And in the hospital, they said that we need to amputate her leg so that she can survive. But there is no anesthesia. The doctors were talking. There's one doctor and he was talking to the compounder. We need to perform the surgery, but there is no anesthesia because it's a remote village. What can be done? Arunima heard that because she was still awake. She heard them and she said, I have suffered the passage of 40 trains on my leg. So therefore, whatever operation you want to perform, please perform without anesthesia. I can bear it. I can tolerate it. Because this pain is nothing compared to the pain I've already faced. Please perform the surgery. And what was the determination? She said, the fact that I have survived 40 trains passing on the track, there must be a higher purpose in my life. There must be a reason why the Lord has protected me. That was the reason. There must be a reason for me to be alive in spite of such a difficult situation. If a small blade cuts my finger, Mata is making garland, if by chance looking at the some of the, maybe Radha Vallabha, she pierces her finger with that needle. You can see the amount of pain Mataji must be experiencing. So here is a person who has experienced extreme pain, but the determination that there must be a reason for me to survive, to be alive, and I should fulfill that reason. So she fought for it. And when she came back, then she was shown in newspapers that here is a sportswoman who tries to commit suicide because she had an affair with someone else, or she was traveling in a train without a ticket and she could not bear that insult, and therefore she jumped out of the train. These were the newspaper messages appearing. She said that I must do to prove who I am. And she decided to climb the Himalaya mountain. She said, I will reach the top of the mountain, because she was a sportswoman. So therefore she had a desire that I will climb up the mountain, reach the peak of the mountain. So one can imagine the determination of the person. The determination, she had an amputated leg. They put on an artificial leg, while others were taking some 3 hours to climb a particular distance on the mountain. She took 3 days, first time when she was trying to climb, and everyone said that, Arunima, you can't do this, just forget it. But she said, no, I am going to climb the mountain. I am going to reach the top of the mountain. And with the support of some sponsors she received, she climbed to the top of the mountain. And at the top of the mountain, she was with a Sherpa. who was accompanying her, and she requests him to take a photograph. Shepa was crying that your oxygen is getting over, you are going to die. She said, no, even if I die, doesn't matter, but please take the photo and show it to the public, to the whole world, that who is Arunima. That with determination, you can achieve anything. And with great difficulty, he took the photograph, and she did not stop there. She said, now take a video. Imagine, her oxygen is getting over, and this is the instruction she is giving to him. He said, I don't have a camera. She pulled out the camera and gave it to him and said, now you take the video recording. He takes the video recording, and then as she was descending, all her oxygen was over and she fell flat. But that's her confidence in the Lord. She said, there must be a reason why I am alive. And at that time, I think one European, I believe, a Britisher or a German, he was climbing and he found that his oxygen, he said, no more I can climb. He had two cylinders and therefore he was returning back. He gave one cylinder to Sherpa and Sherpa immediately connected her to the oxygen and she started reviving. And she came down. And she was the recipient of Padma Bhushan and many other awards later on. Now what does it mean? Why do we take this example? Is that the determination that if I am determined to remain within the Lakshmana Rekha and give the required instructions to the mind and follow the instructions of my Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, instead of my mind, I take the borrowed mind, then there is a scope for purification of my mind. And when that purification takes place, because I am within the boundary of Lakshmana Rekha, I remain always protected. And this is my tapasya. Just as Arunima said that she felt there is a reason for her to be alive, equally, we should determine there is a reason why I am given this human life. There is a reason why I have come in contact with a devotee and I am therefore taken to Krishna consciousness. And that determination, we should instruct our mind again and again. Whenever it goes towards the external energy or the material energy, withdraw it towards the spiritual energy and say, this is where your shelter is. And strictly follow the regulations given to us, the four regulatory principles, and then follow the simple instructions. We say simple, but the ABCD, association with devotees, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and then taking only the spiritual guide. All this gives protection. So everyone who has renounced, the world has taken sannyas, should not renounce chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So therefore, just because I say that I am renounced, I become purified, I am on an orange robe, I am a sannyas robe, does not mean that I stop chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because this is my source of purification. Renunciation does not mean that one has to renounce Sankirtana Yajna. One has to perform the Sankirtana. Similarly, one should not renounce charity or tapasya, because all this helps in my purification of the mind. The yoga system for control of the mind senses must be strictly followed. So we should stick to the Maryada line. Lord Vishwadev showed how several types of tapasya could be performed and he set an example for all others. So Srila Prabhupada, out of his compassion, out of his mercy, he has shown us the path. We just only have to follow the path. Take the process with determination. And not follow our own mind, because it is me who have corrupted the mind since Anadi. And therefore it is me Now I have to take charge, like Ragnar Goswami says, instead of receiving the instruction from the mind, I give the instruction to the mind. The intelligence gives the instruction to the mind for purification. So far, I have only theoretical knowledge that I am not the body, I am the spirit soul. This is what the intelligence is saying. But the day mind accepts it, it becomes my realization. The day mind accepts it, that I am not this body, but I am a spirit soul, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Radha Krishna, I take the shelter of Radha Giridhari. When the mind in totality accepts this instruction, then the realization dawns on me, and with that realization, I remain protected. I think any questions or comments? Any clarification?
Regarding that story of the sportswoman, like I was thinking, in one sense it indicates the futility of human life as well, you know, like we have human life so rarely given to us, and we have to engage in Krishna service, and people, like after going through all that, she had to climb Mount Everest, and to say that, you know, if I lose my life, then it doesn't matter. It's just in one sense I was thinking shows the futility of people who
taking my life and also wondering that realize that my purpose is to Yeah, true. At that point of time, it is only a fortunate person who comes in contact with a devotee, and therefore the person gets elevated from material energy to spiritual energy. So at that point of time, in her consciousness, she was only drowning in the insults of the world around us, around her. And therefore, she wanted to prove that with determination you can achieve what you want to achieve. Now, I draw that principle from that story because it's a real-time story, it's not a fictitious story. You can search Arunima Shah and you will get her details, and it's an inspiration that when a person is determined, Lord also helps that person. And that's what is required for us. It is my determination which helps me to instruct my mind. And no matter in what situation I am, I try to remain within the boundaries of the Lakshmana Rekha and follow the instructions given to me, strictly follow the instructions given to me by the spiritual master, by Shastra, by Guru, by Srila Prabhupada, and therefore advance in on the spiritual journey. Now, as the soldiers of Prabhupada's leadership, it becomes equally our responsibility, in response to your question, Mataji, to the extent possible that we share Krishna consciousness, because this is the goal of our life. I do any activity as a service to Krishna. Use the technology, use the media, in serving or reaching out to the global community. Now you have a spark, reach out to Arunima by email. She's available somewhere. Because you search, you get the contact, and in your own way, try to contact her and show that, well, you have achieved laurels with your determination. You have achieved the pinnacle of a sportsperson's requirement. Now you can transcend even that level and reach further higher because by chance Arunima is visiting Australia to climb, I believe there is some mountain here, I don't know where it is, that the highest peak mountain is there in Australia, and she's trying to reach out to, she's coming to Australia to climb that. So if you can catch her somewhere, through whatever means it is, and you can kindle her spark for the determination of achieving transcendence equally. Any other question? Okay. Grandhara Bhagavat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki
Jai.
Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai.